Jamie and I are going to sing, and we want you to echo with us, all right? Echo with us.
You are holy.
You are holy.
You are mighty. Saving grace, you will reign forever. You are ancient of days. You're the Alpha, the Omega, beginning and end. You're my Savior, Messiah, Redeemer, and friend. You're my Prince of Peace, and I will live my life for you.
Amen.
You are holy. You are holy.
This morning, sing it out.
I will follow.
God some praise this morning. So welcome to First United Methodist Church. Thanks for being here. My name is Eric Dirks, if you don't know that. And we welcome you, Justin and I do, and all the staff to worship here this morning. Thank you so much for being here. Make sure you pay attention to all of the announcements. We are a little quieter this week because of Memorial Day weekend. And you know, I just want to say thank you to all of our men and women who have defended this country and also to all of those who are in heaven now who fought and died for the cause. It's just a great honor, because I understand, at least I believe, that one, maybe the only reason why I can stand up here and do this without fear of death is because of those men and women who have put their life in danger for the freedoms that we have in this country. And this weekend is for us to remember, what they have done for us. So hopefully you will take some time to just ponder the possibilities if those individuals weren't willing to do that. Those of us bringing new life into the world and who have brought new life into the world and who see grandchildren bringing new life into the world, we can say thank you, men and women, for all that you have done for us. All right, if you would fill out your connection card and put that in the offering basket when it comes around later on in the service. Make sure you put your name, address, telephone number. If you are visiting with us especially, please put your name, address, and telephone number so we can greet you properly and say thank you so much for worshiping with us today. You ready for a wonderful service this morning? Let's have a prayer. Dear God, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you so much for what so far is a beautiful, beautiful weekend. This is more, Lord, than a three-day weekend, though. This is a weekend where we need to remember. Remember those men and women who have chosen to fight for you in many cases, but definitely fight for the freedoms, this country, and all of us in this country enjoy. We give you praise, God. And today, as we celebrate you, that is our primary task today, God, to come together to worship you. We lift our hands and our spirits and our minds to you, God. And we give you thanks and praise. And we simply ask for your powerful presence to be with us today. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. If you would, able and turn to number 144. This is My Father's World.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, a preacher sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the fall of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, His hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds, their carols raise, the morning light, the lily bright, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear Him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the
morning. You might also take note of the announcements that are inside the bulletin. There's several things going on in the life of the church this week, and so you don't want to miss any of those opportunities. And on the back of the bulletin, please remember those that we lift up in prayer, those that are in the nursing home and assisted living center, and also, of course, those in the armed forces. I just finished reading a book by my favorite author, Max Lucado, and it was called Outlive Your Life. And I'd just like to share just a little excerpt from that. These are difficult days in our world's history. 1.75 billion people are desperately poor. Natural disasters are gouging entire nations, and economic uncertainty still reigns across the globe. But you and I have been given an opportunity to make a big difference. What if we did? What if we rocked the world with hope, infiltrated all corners with God's love and life? We are created by a great God to do great works. He invites us to outlive our lives, not just in heaven, but here on earth. It's not enough to do well. We want to do good. We want our lives to matter. So let's live our lives in such a way that the world will be glad we did. And we have so many opportunities to do this week, and not only this week with the disasters, but every day of our life. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we so want to make a difference in someone's life. Help us to not only see the needs of others, but be willing to do something about them. We lift up to you the victims of the tornado destruction, not only in Joplin, but Sedalia, and all of those that have been affected by disasters. We lift up to you those that are facing health issues and financial uncertainties. Be a source of comfort and guidance to them and to us, that we can help in some way to ease the burdens of others. Just help us to find that way. Let us remember that by helping just one person gives a beacon of hope, and that can be spread to many. We ask a special blessing on those that are here today, Lord. You know each heart, each need, each joy, and each sorrow. Strengthen us to be the hands and feet as we go about our daily lives. We thank you, Lord, for the freedoms we have in this great country and for the many men and women who have made the ultimate sacrifice for these freedoms. We ask a special blessing on those serving in the armed forces and also for the leaders of our country. We also, Lord, lift up our annual conference meeting this week and those that will be attending from First Church here. Thank you, Lord, for all the good that we have in our life. And let us remember that we can do things with you and through you, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Thank you, Sean. Doesn't she do a great job? If you would all turn with me to Romans 1 in your pew Bibles or in your Bibles, or as Justin says, on your Nook, or let me see, what's that other one called? Huh?
Kindle,
Nook or Kindle, maybe your phone. Tell you what, in confirmation and in God and family is what Justin and I have been doing the last several weeks. All the Bibles were taken up, so I had to use my phone as a Bible several times, actually every week. So Romans 1 will begin with verse 18. And Bradley, I don't have my little clicker, so could you follow along? Once you find that, if you would put your finger in your Bible and stand with me if you're able. Raise those Bibles high above your heads and let's say our Bible pledge today. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Please remain standing as we read Romans 1, 18 through 23. The Apostle Paul says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of those who by their wickedness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. Ever since the creation of the world, his eternal power and divine nature, invisible though they are, have been misunderstood and seen through the things he has made. So they are without excuse, for though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their senseless minds were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling a mortal human being, or birds, or four-footed animals, or reptiles. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Doug? I believe Bradley will get that mic ready for you.
Good morning. Welcome to the first and probably the last UMC News Debate in 2011, sponsored by the First Church Commission on Science and Religion. I'm Doug Wynn of First UMC News. I would first like to introduce to you a guest to First United Methodist Church. He is a professor of anthropology at the University of California at Berkeley and serves as director at Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture. He holds a Bachelor's of Science in Biology from the University of Central Arkansas, a Master's in Biochemistry from Yale, a Doctorate in Animal Physiology, PhD, University of California at Berkeley, specializing in vertebrate paleontology. Please give a warm welcome to Dr. Willard Sugar.
Thank you. Thank you so much, everyone. So good to be here. It's actually pronounced Sugar. It's a common misconception. Only my wife calls me Dr. Sugar. Thank you so much, Douglas.
I apologize for that, sir. Our second guest this morning is the Bishop H.F. Brimstone. He is the Andreas Idrios Professor of Science and Religion at the University of Oxford and a fellow of Harris Manchester College. He read for degrees in science and arts at the University of Queensland before taking up a scholarship at Yale University to study philosophy and religion, finishing his PhD there. He has held visiting fellowships at a number of institutions, including Yale University, the Center of Theological Inquiry, Princeton, and the Institute for Advanced Study, Princeton. He is a founding member of the International Society for Science and Religion and a fellow of the Oxford Academy of the Humanities. In 2003, he was awarded a Centenary Medal for his contributions to philosophy and religion. Before his election to the Idrios Chair, he was advisor to President George W. Bush in spiritual matters in his last term. Please give a warm welcome to Bishop H.F. Brimstone.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Doug.
Did I pronounce that correctly?
You absolutely did. Good enough for me anyway.
All right.
It's quite a list, I would say, as you come up. How long did it take you to come up with that?
Well, I was a professional student in my younger days.
I see. In your younger days. How cute.
Okay, well, gentlemen, as we begin our debate today, I will begin with the question and then allow you to control the floor. Dr. Sugar.
Yes.
We will begin with you. Is truth found in science or religion?
Thank you, Douglas. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just so honored and so tickled to be here with you today. Your senior pastor, Eric, has just been a delight to be around, as well as that young, handsome associate of his. And I don't know where they are now. They're probably off
having
somewhere.
Coffee somewhere.
Yeah, probably in their office hiding, as pastors typically like to do. So anyways, but I must say, your name, Bishop H.F. Brimstone, I must ask, does your parents not like you or something? Do they hold the grudge?
Well, I think
you?
There must have been some prophecy involved with the name.
Perhaps. I don't know. That's cute all the same. And your achievements. Wow. I must ask, Bishop, what exactly does an Idrios chair do? I'm curious.
Well, it was something that was created in October of 1999. It's just simply a professorship at Oxford, and it is a joy and an honor to be able to debate such issues as science and religion, and that is one of the focuses of that chair.
How impressive. Well, First of all, I would just like to say a happy birthday to my brother Nathan Shugar. He's turning 31 today, so if you're watching the webcast, happy birthday to you. Douglas has asked the question for us, is truth found in science or Christianity? First of all, my hope for all of you is that this be a learning experience. I am an educator at heart, and it is my aim to point you toward truth, whatever direction that might take us. I will make my position very clear. I believe you are wasting your time. Each and every Sunday you come, you sit in your pews, you wait for something magical to happen, listening to, no offense, no offense, Bishop, but ramblings about superstitions that rival leprechauns and unicorns. I do believe today will not be a waste of your time. However, as you will begin to hear just an outlined versions of some of my views regarding science and religion, with the brief time that we have today, I know that we can't just get incredibly deep, but with the time that we have, we'll talk about some of these things and the incompatibility of science and religion. A couple atheist books, The God Delusion and The End of Faith, have become bestsellers by exposing many of the dangers of faith in the lack of evidence of a God of Abraham. Evolution has taken huge bites out of religion in the days of Darwin, in the days of Ernest Haeckel, and continues to make ground. There's even been recent work involving the brain has shown no evidence of a soul, no evidence of a spirit, or really anything regarding personality with this lump of jelly that is actually inside of our heads. We also know from scientific study that the universe did not require a creator, that the building blocks to build organisms were already present. On the issues of science and religion, they're just different forms of investigation altogether, Bishop, with only one, science, okay, equipped to find real truth. While they have had a dialogue in the past, it has not been a very constructive one. Science helps religion only by disproving its claims, while religion has nothing to add to science. So it's very easy for religious people to say, hey, let's hold hands because we can learn so much from each other. It's easy to say that when, again, religion has nothing to offer but some out-of-body, out-of-mind experience that I could purchase just as easily from illegal narcotics. So just for clarity, it is my position that they are not compatible. Bishop, I leave it to you.
All right. Well, I too want to thank you for inviting me here today. It's a joy to be able to come to the States. The place I would like to begin is to apologize to you, Dr. Shugar.
It's Shugar. Thank you.
Shugar?
Dr. Shugar.
Oh, Shugar.
I said before, only my wife. Never mind.
All right.
It's just neither here nor there.
Interesting. Willard.
Excuse me, Willard.
That's easier than Shugar. I don't want to insult you.
I mean, I'd like to think that I went to school long enough to be called doctor, at least. So, but do what you must. Should I call you HF, or what exactly does that stand for, by the way?
Well, you can figure it out.
Use my imagination, imagine. Okay, yes. Go ahead.
All right. Well, first of all, Dr. Shugar, what? Willard.
It's Shugar.
Oh, Shugar. There we go. Shugar. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Tilt your chin a little bit.
All right.
Thank you.
For the person in the church, I just want to apologize for the person in the church that hurt you so much to bring you to the point where you lose your faith, where you look at faith in such a disdainful way and lack of respect for over four millennia of study and thousands of theologians. When I enter into these debates with colleagues, I'm always amazed with the same reality, and that is this thing that my colleagues debate against, God, Christianity, the church. It is the very thing that built the foundation of the ideology which allows them to voice their opinions freely. The same ideology that people have died for that we are celebrating this weekend and that give us the right to have this very conversation has nothing to do with the debate, but these things are always on my mind as we begin to discuss these things. So, is truth found in science or Christianity? Well, I'm going to be right up front with you all right from the very beginning. The simplest, most concise answer that I could give you today in all my studies would be yes. I understand how this might be hard for you to fathom, Dr. Sugar.
Nice. Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. We're learning.
And, hey, I'm quick. Sometimes. In preparing for today, I read several of your papers. Of course, you have no books, but I read several of your papers, and of course, listening to your introduction today, mentioning the God delusion. The God delusion confirmed my understanding that you're a naturalist, a relativist, and you also lean toward this thing that the acronym is NOMA. I don't know if you've heard of it. It is the non-overlapping magisteria. That concept, am I okay so far?
You're touching on it.
All right, good.
To practice that in the mirror a few times, magisteria?
Yeah, I did. And that is, what that means is, those three terms, for those who may not know, is that nothing exists beyond natural laws and forces, that there is no absolute truth, and that science and religion do not mix. And how frustrating Christianity must be for you, in that it gives you historical proof. And yet, as Romans 1 said this morning, you close your eyes to what is right in front of you. One of the astronomers that founded the Goddard Space Institute in NASA, Dr. Robert Jastrow, said it best. He said that as we scientists look back into the origins of our universe, we keep trying to go back further and further and further, and we keep trying to dismiss God as a possible cause of our origin. He says that it's like this, quote, "It's as though for the scientist who has lived by his faith in the power of human reason, the search for our origins ends like a bad dream. He has scaled the mountains of ignorance. He's about to conquer the highest peak of discovery of how our origins came about. He finally pulls himself over the final rock, but there he is greeted by a band of theologians who have been sitting there for centuries." Dr. Shiger.
Scaled the mountains of ignorance. Do that very often, do you? Mm. Well, immediately... thank you, Bishop, by the way. Immediately out of the gate, people will say that there are scientists who are religious and that there are religious people who accept science for all it's worth. And the existence of religious scientists or religious people who accept science, as you are saying a little bit of, Pastor, doesn't really prove that the two areas are compatible. We're talking about the compatibility of these two areas of investigation. All it really shows is that people can have two conflicting notions going on in their head at the same time. A simple example would be, I have $10. Do I save it or spend it? Those are two notions that conflict, and I think we do that with a lot of different things. One thing you have to look at when you talk about science and you talk about religion is that you have to look at the division, excuse me, my name tag is coming off here. We can't be having that, by no means. One thing you have to look at is the harmony of science and the division that is found in religion. Science operates by using evidence as reason. Doubt is prized above all things. How can we find something to be true beyond a reasonable doubt? And science is also something where authority is often rejected. People have this notion of authority that no matter what this says, the authority always says different. That authority can look like the Pope. It can look like written books that different religions use, whether that's the Torah with the Jews, the Quran with the Muslims, the Bible here in the Christian church. But no scientific finding is deemed true unless it's repeated and verified by others. We scientists are always asking ourselves, How can I find out if I'm wrong? Okay, this is my theory. How can I test this to see if I'm wrong? Methods of science help us distinguish real truth from only what we want to be true. I'm sure some of us have some things that we want to be true, but we have a difficult time facing the facts sometimes when the facts are not there. An easy example of this, but let me also say that science can be wrong, but the process of science takes us forward. It moves us toward truth. An easy example would be bloodletting from years ago. There was a time where doctors believed that you would need to bleed the patient in order to remove the sickness, remove the illness from the blood. Well, obviously, advances in modern science, we've found that the blood is actually what transports healing agents throughout the body so that our bodies can be aided and be recovered. So in the end, science wins because it works. Okay, it uncovers more and more as it moves forward. So, which brings us to the question, does religion work? Okay, it brings us some comfort. It motivates us to do good. Others, it motivates us to hijack planes and crash them into buildings. It motivates some religious people to strap bombs and go on suicide runs. It might create some kind of moral standard in which to live by that really atheists and non-religious people can live to those standards as well. But does religion really help us better understand our world and our universe? Hardly. Keep in mind that almost all religions have claims about wonder-working saints, miracles, virgin birth, resurrections. These beliefs are at the foundation of religion, wouldn't you say, Bishop? Whether you're talking Christianity, whether you're talking any other religion, these set at the foundation. And because religious people believe that these things happened in time, in space, on this world, in this universe, okay, it brings religion all of a sudden into the realm of scientific study, okay? And religion claims that it can back these things up. Hey, we have evidence, but when it's ready to actually defend itself, rather than rely on evidence and facts and reason, it would just assume rely on dogmas and authority and faith. Even in the Christian scriptures, your book of Hebrews chapter 11 says, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So all of a sudden, we're trying to support religion, and we need to talk about, you just need to believe and just keep your mind out of it. Keep the evidence. You don't need evidence. Just believe. Just have faith. Even one of the disciples of Jesus, a man named Thomas, was almost ostracized, has been known forever as doubting Thomas, because all he wanted was a little bit of evidence. He says, I'll believe it when I see it. And you teach your children, now don't doubt, don't ever ask questions, just believe on faith, just accept that. Thomas was just a scientist before his time, it sounds like. So this is a problem with religious truth. Okay, in the religious community, everyone has a different definition of truth. Christians say Jesus is the Savior, and if you don't believe in him, you'll burn forever. Muslims say opposite, that they say if you believe Jesus is the Son of God, then you'll roast. The Jews say, he was a prophet, so on and so forth, but he was not the Messiah. So which is right? Which is true here? And these religions, these main three that I'm picking on, also seem to always be at each other's throats for one thing or another. You can look at the Jews and the Muslims dating back all the way back to your father Abraham and Jacob and Esau. Okay, this conflict still goes on in the Middle East. You can also look at the death of many Christians and Muslims during the Crusades and the death of many in between. You can look at the killing of Jews at the hands of Christians during the Dark Ages. And when you look at the scientific community, you say that there is no Catholic science, there's no Muslim science, there's no Jewish science. There's one science, one scientific search for truth over all cultures in all nations, moving forward, working together to uncover the mysteries of this world and this universe. It's funny, scientists have utilized the Latin language to classify different genus and species from the kingdom, phylum level, all the way down to the genus species. They use Latin, and you're familiar with this, and many of you are. They use Latin so that they can be on the same page when they're talking about microbacteria, they're talking about plants, animals. Okay, this communication system is built so that they can relate to one another. I'm told that Christians can hardly decide what translation of the Bible to use. Just saying. Science's demand for evidence and reason and religion's demand of faith and blind acceptance create an incompatible pair. Furthermore, the division caused by religion and the harmony that exists in science is further evidence that they are compatible in no way. Bishop Brimstone, you have the floor.
Wow, Dr. Shuger.
Mm-hmm. Close enough.
Yeah. Where do I begin and which of those topics do I choose in the time allotted? I have to admit, I'm not sure where you have been studying, but science is definitely not one. There are many different aspects of science and many different scientists that disagree with one another, even at my Oxford. First, I want to make it very clear, I am a Christian, and Christianity is based on a relationship. Christianity is based on a relationship. Personally, I really don't even think of Christianity as a religion because it is based on a relationship. Therefore, I can only respond from a Christian perspective and can't speak honestly about other faiths. Having said that, I agree with you and I share the frustration of so many different denominations in the church. What I will say about these divisions, in name at least, deal with specific issues, not the basic precepts of the Christian faith. In other words, most, if not all, who call themselves Christian believe in one true God who made heaven and earth. They believe in His Son, Jesus the Christ, who lived, who died, and was resurrected, and is now seated with God, and who will judge all of us, no matter what faith we are. The Holy Spirit is the advocate, the sustainer, and then, of course, the church. Most believe that grace and forgiveness that God gives us, and also life after death. The differences boil down to things like baptism, women wearing jewelry, clothing, worship style, different levels of connection between churches and their responsibility to one another, etc. You're also right on how faith can be used as a dangerous weapon. Your colleague, Professor Richard Dawkins, raises a valid point when he says that we must teach our children to always question skeptically. Always question skeptically. I personally would say that we need to constantly put our faith to the test and not to just believe because your parents believe or because your best friend believes this way or because your pastor believes this way. You see, there is a danger of fanatical religion that fans the flames of violence. Would you agree with that?
Certainly.
And I am ashamed as a Christian for acts in the Middle Ages and that with the Crusades and such, but we must understand that even in those examples, the culprits were not following Christ. They were actually disobeying his explicit command because he told his followers on several occasions not to use physical weapons. And one time when his disciple Peter did use a weapon in the garden, Jesus actually healed the soldier's ear. Truth can't be imposed by violence, and Jesus was sent into this world to bring a message of God's love and forgiveness. Now, I hear you say in what you didn't say, so understand that. I'm hearing in what you didn't say that you think a world full of atheists might be better than a world that we have today. But let us remember our history for a minute with just a few quick examples. Do you remember Joseph Stalin?
Sure, absolutely.
A Soviet communist revolutionary and an atheist. How about Mao Zedong, leader of the Chinese communism and an atheist? Pol Pot, the Cambodian communist leader and an atheist? And the millions that they killed to try to get rid of so-called religion. Would this world truly be a better place? Well, in closing, I would like you to consider something. All of you. All of you. If in the end my beliefs, my scientific theories are the result ultimately of the atoms in my brain produced by an unguided random process, did you follow that?
Unguided random, I'm
okay.
There.
Okay, all right. That definitely Why should I you. Believe them? Why should I believe them? It's like someone sitting on a branch of a tree and cutting off the limb that is holding them. Atheism actually undercuts scientific endeavor, but theism tells us that the reason science is possible, the reason I can begin to understand the universe and my world that is around me with my human intelligence, is that the same God who created the universe is ultimately responsible for the human mind, or this lump of jelly that you said earlier. And beyond that, science itself, the fine-tuning of the universe, basic constants of nature have to be very accurate in order to have a universe like this one. You've all heard it. If the Earth were just a little bit closer or a little bit farther away from the sun, we would not exist. The fine-tuning of the universe. Arno Penzias, co-discoverer of the radiation afterglow, stated, astronomy leads us to a unique event. Astronomy, science, astronomy leads us to a unique event, a universe which was created out of nothing and delicately balanced to provide exactly the conditions required to support life. In the absence of an absurdly improbable accident, the observations of modern science seem to suggest an underlying, one might say, supernatural plan. I have an experiment for you. Would you participate with me?
Absolutely.
Would you hold this box for me, sir?
Sure thing.
All right.
As you can see, there's nothing in the box.
All right.
Is that what we're doing?
I have some copper wire here.
Okay. Probably get some money for that.
Yeah. I have a, well, that's already put together a little bit. Just that like might be cheating, but.
Yeah, twisty that, tie on that,
yeah,
a fan.
Yeah. There you go. Looky here, some silicon, right?
Okay.
Motherboard, some parts. You hear what I'm doing here? Oh, looky there. What is that?
Hard drive, maybe.
All right, okay, all right. Oh, look at these. Look at this circuit. Look at those circuits.
What fun.
Yeah.
That looks like something a woman would put in her hair.
Well.
Could be.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, nor would I.
Hair, all right.
Hair or?
All right, now let's close this.
Okay.
And can you just kind of hold it like
sure.
That?
Sure, yeah. Absolutely.
And can you shake that for me?
Sure. How's this?
Keep shaking.
Okay.
Keep shaking. You might want to do it a little faster. There you go. Yeah.
I needed to stretch before I came on, evidently. Doing a little bit of everything. Okay, what is the point of this exercise?
Well, I'm just curious, how long do you think you would have to shake that before a laptop computer came out?
Well, the probability certainly would be there. I mean, I think that we're missing a few parts, obviously, but if everything fell into the right place, you know.
If everything fell into the right place.
I think so, but really, I mean, we're just kind of kidding ourselves here that a laptop is not going to form from me simply shaking this. I'd like to think that I have that much magic in my hot hand, but evidently I don't.
So maybe if lightning would strike the box while you're shaking it, would that improve the probability?
I'd prefer lightning not to strike the box while I'm shaking it, but you know, it certainly couldn't hurt.
I think you probably see from my perspective where I'm going with this that
I think so.
That life did not just magically appear. I believe that God directed all the events that made you and I stand here and debate this and give us the freedom to be here today.
Amen. Well, so here we are.
Justin has had a difficult thing today. He has actually been speaking against something that he believes in, and that is a difficult place to be. So I commend you, Justin.
Yeah, you know, I would say just in all this, and some of it has certainly been fun because over the years you hear a lot of the arguments that people have. And really where some of these things fall down. And if I have anything to say just about my personal feelings on this topic, and Eric and I decided to do this mainly, I can't tie it. It just takes too long. But we just have, we both have just kind of backgrounds dealing with science and something that's very unique about science. And really just the bare bones definition is science is the intellectual and practical activity encompassing the systematic study, bear with me, of the structure and behavior of the physical and natural world through observation and experiment. So really, every science, whether that's studying the cosmos, astronomy, biology, you know, paleontology, all of these sciences study the natural order and what we see, the physical world. And I believe that God has set these laws into motion. He's created this world, and I don't think that science can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is God. I believe that science points people toward God, but when God himself sits outside of the natural order, when he is the one that controls these laws, it's going to be very difficult, I think, for the scientific community to find those. And the very definition of supernatural means that it doesn't happen consistently in nature. So those are just kind of some of my thoughts, that God put that into action, that he set the laws of gravity, the laws of inertia into motion. So, and that he uses those to govern the natural world.
And really, by definition, a miracle is something, no matter how deep we get into science, a miracle is something that can't be explained by those natural laws, right?
Exactly. And it's something that scientists, when they run experiment after experiment, it's something that for them to be true needs to be repeated and something that needs to be done time and time again to yield the same results.
Absolutely. So. Well, I would just like to say that I sincerely, with all of my being, I believe that with science, we are learning how God works in this world. It's just exactly what Justin said. And the more we discover, the more we understand how God works, has worked, is working, will work in this world. And when God creates these aspects of our universe that we take for granted, you mentioned gravity, right? I mean, gravity is gravity, right? And it is amazing. If we had more gravity here on Earth, If life could come about, we may look 3 foot tall and have legs. If gravity was heavier, you know, we might have huge legs to support this body that is only 3 foot tall.
We'd weigh more too.
We'd way more,
that's
yeah.
That's not good.
There's a lot of folks that wouldn't appreciate
no,
that.
No.
So God created this place in a specific way that is just amazing to me. But, you know, is God limited to these laws? I don't believe God is limited to these laws unless God chooses to be limited by these laws. And again, that kind of moves into miracles. For some reason, beyond our understanding, God chooses to move in and not be limited by those laws. But, you know, maybe I'm naive, but no matter how many books I read, I seriously do not understand why some scientists are so dead set against the possibility of a creator. I really don't get it. I just don't see how it hurts their knowledge, their research, their scientific ability. I really do not understand it. And the only thing I've been able to come up with as a possibility is that unless there is a bigger conspiracy that is going on here, an organized effort that is trying to weaken and tear apart our faith and maybe any religion that we have as a human species. So, is that meant to scare you? No, I'm just trying to figure out why scientists, many of them, not all, many of them are so dead set against this concept of a creator. I mean, you can read John 1, you can read Genesis 1. One of my favorites, the 139th Psalm, talks about, where can I go and not be with you? Can I go to the depths of the earth? Can I go to the far shore? No matter where I am, there you are with me. And of course, Romans 1 that we read today, Paul speaks of how obvious it is that God is here among us. God is with us and loves us and supports us. So, anything else?
One thing I just want to add is in talking about Christianity not using, or religion not using evidence or facts. I don't know about other religions, but there's just tons of evidence for the mm-hmm. resurrection of Christ. I know that we've talked about that in some of our other myths, but I say that in order to not mislead anyone. But Christianity certainly does use just a lot of evidence, a lot of facts to back that up. So
you know me, I like rubber meets the road stuff. What is the rubber meets the road stuff from this sermon today? Well, can you take it out and will it help you on your trip home from church? I don't know. I guess one thing I know I wanted to get out of this teaching series today, and I don't know, it's kind of renewed a passion of mine that today's message has that I had forgotten. And this battle between science and religion, which I don't understand the battle. But anyway, the rubber meets the road thing is that you are not a part of a weak faith. The faith that you have, assuming that all of you here have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you believe on Him as God's Son, you do your best to follow Him in your life. You ask for forgiveness when you wrong people or wrong yourself. If you have that faith, you do not have a weak faith. You do not have, for lack of a better term, a religion that is weak. Christianity that's based on this relationship with Jesus Christ is a powerful, powerful faith. A faith that gives us freedom to do amazing and wonderful things. Let's pray. Holy God, you are an amazing God. And I just give you praise for this brother in the faith of mine, Justin, and how he is willing to jump on board and sometimes be foolish in your name, God. I thank you so much for this church that allows us to talk about these real issues that are in the world around us. So God, I just ask you to bless the words, the research, this debate that happened today. May it work on us. May some things bother us to the point where we actually do something about it. But no matter what, God, may we always feel your presence. May we always understand your love and care, and may we experience your grace. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. All right, we're gathering together to bless God's name. Let's get those hands going. Like I say, it's all right to sweat when you're worshiping our Savior. Amen. Here we go.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, when streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name.
Come on now, sing it out.
Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, or I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Every blessing you pour out, turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Say, oh, blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, oh, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name.